This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It is good to be back. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in an environment where the saints of God have honor and respect in their hearts for the word of God, and are excited to see each other. It's incredible to come back after holiday and to sense the excitement as well. And I was actually thinking about, wow, how does one maintain sort of this sense of newness and new beginnings throughout the year? And I think that's part of the key, isn't it? Is to be able to have a perpetual or consistent rhythm of rest in our lives. And that's really my prayer for all of us this year, is that God will continue to refresh us, that we will drink deeply from the fountain of his life, of his peace, of his joy. As the song said, I just love that song. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs after you. And it's sort of just a song that's been burning in my heart, and I want to encourage you to sing it with me this year, that we continue to make Jesus the focus, the everything of who we are, what we desire, and what we long for. So how many of you guys were on the road this holiday? You traveled, right? Quite a few of us. How many of you traveled with kids? Okay, a few. You all survived. Well, you're back, so you survived. I see a few of our friends aren't back yet. They may be recovering from those trips. And how many of you guys heard the dreaded question, are we there yet? Anybody heard that? Are we, wanneer dan? When are we there yet? When will we arrive? Can't believe it's taking this long. So there are questions that I think irritate one another. There are questions that excite us. There are questions that confuse us, that leave us flummoxed, middle pen uitgebouw. And I was thinking a little bit about questions. I was buying a few magazines, the newspaper, these last few weeks, and most of the newspapers and the magazines have quite a few questions in them. You start off the new year, and I try to get a hold of a men's health magazine. I couldn't. Stefan, are you eniki? Begin van die jaar? Nee. It's not a sin. Did anybody buy a men's health magazine? Is it still around? It's still around, I think. But I can almost bet that the men's health magazine, January 2020 and January 2008, would mostly be the same. How can I get my best body ever? How can I get the promotion this year? This is going to be my year. You know, how am I going to get that girl this year? It's basically just different model on the front, different articles, but the same headings. And I was just thinking about the questions that drive us, the questions that lead us to doing the things that we do. And so I went to Google it a little bit. The most asked questions on Google in 2019, okay? Obviously, this comes from the... there's a lot of American in there, but apparently the NBA playoffs are big. So about 5 million per month ask the question, when are the NBA playoffs? Then what is my IP address? Was also right up there. Where's my refund? Also quite high up there. Now, when are the NBA playoffs and where's my refund? Those are seasonal, so they spike around the time when the NBA began in America. And just around the tax season in America as well. But then what is love is consistently up there. How to draw. I probably added to that 1.5 million in there. How to draw. Where am I? That's one of the top ones as well. What are the early signs of pregnancy? Is Mercury in retrograde? I don't even know what it means. Who called me? It's also one of the top ones there. Now, the most ask questions in terms of how, the most how questions in there. How to draw, 1.5 million. How to make slime, it's literally up there. The second most question on how to make slime. All right, so I asked Annika, I told Annika this morning, I always asked Kate for her slime, and she's like, Dad, what are you going to do with the slime? So I'm going to use it in church. She's like, no way, really? I don't want to go to kids' church, I want to be in church for this. So I said, no, I'm just going to use it as a demonstration. Because I read this on Google, I told her. There is like 1.5 million people per month ask the question, how to make slime? I said, can you believe it? And she says, yes. Of course. We went to a party, and the lady, the mom of my friend, took us to Spa. We bought a whole lot of ingredients. We went home to make slime. Then we couldn't get it right. And so we asked Google how to make slime, how to make cloud slime, how to make goofy slime. I don't know how to make. Apparently now you get slime parties as well. All right. How to screenshot on a Mac. How to tie a tie. Hey, come on, still up there as well. How many ounces are there in a cup? So all sorts of questions that drive people to Dr. Google. All sorts of questions that drive people to instead in the past where you had to go to a library, you can now just on your phone or on your computer get answers to these questions, hopefully get the right answers. Some of the questions in this room we might be pondering is, when will load shedding end? How long will the fires in Australia last? It's a very real question. By the way, can we pray for Australia? Is there anybody who have family members in Australia? Anybody here? Jan? Don't you guys just want to come and stand proxy? Supravan proxy namadulas net. We want to pray for you on behalf of those who are in Australia. You stand in the gap. And we just want to say, point of contact for our faith. We want to, because we're praying for people. We're not just praying for a country out far away. There are real people there in a real, real, real challenge. Before we do that, I want to show you this video clip about what happened in the Karoo. And Justin, if you can play it, just to stir our faith a little bit. I'm going to interrupt myself. Is it close? It's in Afrikaans, apologies. Turn your head like that.
By onself het dit nog nie gereën nie. Ek staan in die dam se pan. Daar, agter die naai rand, is waar die sluis is. Die mense, het ewens te erbe gereën. Over tyd gehad.
Okay, you can turn the volume down. I can't really hear that, but this video clip was sent to me by one of the people I had the privilege of meeting over at RSG. Sent it to me, and farms in the Karoo region, and that's the Gamka River, and top part of the river has been opened up. It's been raining. There comes the water, as God's people have been praying, and as God's people have been standing in faith. There comes the water, the barren, dry, cracked earth. And God is sending the rain. It's been raining in certain parts of Namibia as well, the Kalahari. And I had a dream, actually, I shared with my family from Beaufort West a week and a half ago about the Gamka River coming down in flood in the town. And there's the rain. And just so many people have been praying. So they're basically just saying, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the prayers. Don't give up praying. God answers prayer. And as God has sent the rain in the Karoo and in Namibia, we believe that God can send the rain and God can quench the fires in Australia as well. But we want to pray that that nation turns to God. Amen. That nation cries out to God. The nation acknowledges that there's a God of creation that they need. Because one of the great things, people in South Africa, with all of our challenges that we have, there's still a God conscience. There's still, when a crisis hit, we know where to go. And we cry out to God. And so, can we take that faith and cry out on behalf of Australia this morning? So I want Blackie and Neil and Jan, can you guys just come to the front? We just want to just come and stand here. I want to lay my hands on you. There's some more of you guys who have people in Australia. Chrissy, we just want to pray for Australia. And maybe those of you who have family there, maybe you can just pray a prayer as well. You might have some more faith in there as well. Okay, so can we stretch out our hands towards them as we stretch out our hands towards them? I want you to think we're stretching out our hands towards our Australian brothers and sisters, friends, family over there, and we pray for them. Yes, and of course we've got our friends, Daniel and Marina Erasmus in Australia, and Charlene and Stefan Becker there as well. So we want to pray for them. So any one of you guys want to lead us in prayer? Jan?
Father, we just come to you with that expectation and certainty that you are our provider and that we are one in spirit, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, and that we, in that strength, in the position of strength, that we can pray a blessing over Australia. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're also the provider, that you, even in this time of testing and the hardship of those fires, that you will be a blessing for that country, that you will turn hearts to you, that while we can't understand, we can't comprehend the method, but Father, that you have positioned yourself centrally in the minds of every citizen of Australia. And we celebrate that today. We can't understand the harshness of that fire. And we, in Jesus, in your name, we speak it over that country, that your reign will come, Father, that you will bring the blessing of provision. Thank you, Jesus. We just, our hearts go out to the animals and the nature and the devastation that happened there. And we know, Jesus, in your name, that everything will be restored again. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love every one of us, and it applies to everyone and every creation, every being that lives in Australia. Thank you, Jesus, in your name.
Yes, Father, we agree with that, Lord. We pray that you will send revival, Lord, to Australia in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray you'll send the rain, the physical rain, Father, where it looks impossible. And, Lord, all the declarations that have been made over Australia in terms of climate warming, Lord, and all of those things. And we acknowledge the things that are happening in the natural. But, God, we thank you. We serve a supernatural God. You broke the drought, Father, here over Cape Town. You're breaking the drought in the Karoo and the Kalahari, Lord. We thank you, God, that you will do the same in Australia, Father. We pray for a mighty cry to rise up from that nation, Lord, turning to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that they will recognize, as Yannis said, Lord, that you are knocking on the door of their hearts, Lord, and that they will turn to you, Father. We pray for family and friends represented here. We pray protection over them, Lord. We pray safety over, pray peace over them. And above all, Father, we pray for opportunities to minister, opportunities to witness, Lord God, about the peace that you give, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father. And thank you that for Australia, Lord, you will make this work together, Father, for the good of your church, the good of your kingdom, and the good of your name. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Please let us know as well if there are your friends and family that are in danger or in any way, that we can pray for them specifically. You know, as I was thinking through these questions, some of the questions that I think could be in this room as well, might be in some of our hearts, is where's a safe place to raise our children? Reading the newspapers, those are some of the questions that come to the fore. For some of us, it might be, when will my grieving heart heal? What will the stock markets do in 2020? Is this Liverpool's year? Yes, I believe it is. How do I make friends? Are we there yet? When will the drought end? And then the top Google searches in South Africa in 2019, load shedding, it's right up there, election results, Thanos. Can you believe it? Thanos was right up there, number three in Google searches in 2019. Fiona Viotti, unfortunately, shame. Yeah, I'm going to pray for her and the family. Black Friday specials, Gavin Watson, Mark, Bachelor. Teachers Day, Worship School Driehoek was up there. Worship School Driehoek was the high school where that bridge collapsed and killed those kids. Teachers Day in there, that's at least a good thing to see, people thinking about our teachers. The top Google searches in South Africa in the last decade were around the word why. Why were cornflakes invented? What time is the Rugby World Cup final? How many votes were seat in Parliament? You can read through them. How long is a rugby match? What is media? What is teenage pregnancy? Maybe you can have a look at those questions. You can see, oh, yeah, I added to some of those stats, or maybe not there at all. How to make slime, like I said, was right up there, just around the house and the wise combined. Okay, but there were a lot of questions. One is the how to grow hair fast. How to draw eyebrows, more serious note, what is depression? How to create an email, it's there. Now, I was thinking about all of these questions and how Google obviously is driven, and tons of money and billions of dollars are being made out of people's questions. Questions. We could, in a very real way, say the world is being driven by questions. The world is being driven by questions. And Albert Einstein, a theoretical physicist, philosopher, and child of God, said, if I had an honor or if I had an hour to solve a problem and my life depended on the solution, I would spend the first 55 minutes determining the proper question to ask. For once I know the proper question, I could solve the problem in less than 5 minutes. If I had an hour to solve a question and my life depended upon it, I would use most of the time getting to the right question. And that really struck me, and I was thinking about 2020, and I was thinking about the answers that we have and the questions that we have and the things that would drive us to do certain things this year. And I was just challenged for myself to ask myself, am I asking the right question? Or do I just run after the easiest answer or the answer that's top of mind? Or am I spending enough time to ask the right question? So the Bible has a lot to say about questions. James 4, verse 2 to 3. James is Jesus' brother, his little brother. Didn't mince his words. He brought it straight. And so he's speaking to his disciples, and he says, you desire, but you do not have, and so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. And he says a lot of the killing and the quarreling and the fighting comes from desires that you have that's pent up on the inside. You desire, but you don't have that thing, and then you go out and you kill somebody. You covet, intense desire, you've got greed, but you cannot get what you want, and you quarrel and you fight. And most of those searches, if you go and look at the results of them, some of the names mentioned there, it's like guys who ended up in terrible situations, be it that lady, bishops at the school, be it Mark Batchelor, the soccer, got involved in the underground drugs, be it Busasa. Many of those things revolve around desires that we have, questions that we have, and we try to answer those questions or fill the needs, very often legitimate needs, in an illegitimate way. And then he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And what James is saying here is that, guys, I actually want you to ask. I don't want you to have desires and stuff inside of you and you don't go and you don't ask God. I want you to ask God. It's an invitation. It's a rebuke on the one hand because he says that you've got all of those things inside of you but you don't take it to God. I want you to take it to God. I want you to ask God. But I also want you to ask God in the right way. So there's an invitation from God to us. Ask the right question to the right person. Jesus in Matthew 7, verse 7 encouraged us. The Amplified says, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Ask and keep on asking. So everybody who's running to Google and have those questions, it's not as if God is saying, don't ask the question. But I'm wondering how often have people, and let's forget about people, let's look to us, ourselves, how often have we run to a Google? And the Google can be the pastor, the Google can be the physical Google, the Google can be a wonderful preacher like John Piper or amazing preacher like Heinrich Titus or whatever, whoever, that you are running to books or podcasts or whatever, and you take your question there first. And if that's the only place we take our questions to, inevitably we will get answers that will fall short of what we really need to hear. And God is saying, ask. Keep on asking. And for me, I've made 2020 one of my few year New Year's resolutions. I want to make 2020 the year of 2020 vision. I want to see what I need to see. I want to see what I need to see. And I understand that in order for me to see what I need to see, I need to ask the right question. I need to ask the right question. So the Lord has been challenging me to become brutally honest with myself and not be afraid to ask questions. And to go to him with those questions. And I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to keep on knocking. And trusting God. As he promised us that he's a good dad. That's what the Bible says. He's a good dad. He's not an evil dad. And so when we ask him for bread or for a piece of fish, he's not going to give us a stone or a scorpion. He's not inviting us to ask him questions and then he's going to hold out on us. He's not inviting us to draw near and then he's going to turn around and say, hey, guys, geez, I didn't see the fire in Australia coming, so I can't deal with you right now. He wants us to engage with him. He's encouraging us. 2020, don't walk with your questions on the inside. Don't ignore those questions. Ask them, but ask them from God. And keep on asking until you get the answer. And so last week, Jaco ended off with this question that he shared with you from Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And so much of this morning's songs tied into that. And I believe firmly that 2020 is a year in which God wants to lead our souls to a place of healing, wants to lead our souls to a place of wholeness, wants to lead our souls to a place of fulfillment, because Gustav reminded us again that Jesus said we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our strength, and all of our souls. And it is difficult to love God with all of your soul if you are not engaged with your soul. And so I believe that God is wanting to invite us to engage with our souls in this year in an honest way, to ask the questions that maybe we have buried for a long time. You know, the amazing thing about kids is they've got very little understanding of the right time to ask certain things. It's almost never a right time. They just let go and just ask around the table, in the car, in the movies. The questions just come. And the older we grow, we begin to understand decorum and protocol, and there's a right way and a right place. And then sometimes we bury those questions. And I believe God is inviting us again to come like children and to ask questions. To ask questions of God, but also to ask questions of ourselves. And this is what the psalmist did. He spoke to his soul. He asked his soul, "Soul, why are you feeling this way?" My uncle told me in the holidays, he said, when you talk to yourself, that's still fine. But when you start talking back to yourself, then you're in trouble. It's okay to talk to yourself, but when you start talking back to yourself, you're in trouble. But I believe that it is needed. Sometimes we listen to ourselves too much without talking to ourselves. I mean, if you wake up in the morning, all sorts of questions just come into your mind. When you go to bed at night, all sorts of questions come to mind. When you open your phone, there's a whole lot of questions coming your way all the time. And I believe actually that we need to grow in speaking to ourselves, speaking to our emotions, speaking to the essence of who we are. It's Nacho Libre said, to my nucleus, speak to my nucleus. Any of you guys watch Nacho Libre? Yes, so that joke is just for you. So Psalm 42, the Passion Translation, I'm going to spend maybe a week or two in this psalm, just give you the foundation this morning. It is called an Exodus Psalm, Psalm 42. Now the second part of Psalm, starting with Psalm 42, reflects the second book of the Bible, Exodus, which deals with how do you come out of slavery? How do you come out of captivity? How do you come out of things that keep you trapped? And the second book of Psalms lead us into this discussion. How do I break from bondage? How do I break from things that keep me back? And I love this description in the Passion Translation. It says, it's a cry for revival, for the pure and shining one, a contemplative poem for instruction by the prophetic singers of Korah's clan. It's called a miskel in Hebrew. It's a poem or a song that was used to instruct. And here's the beauty of songs. Here's the beauty of the worship songs that we sing. The songs we sing shape our theology. And that's why we have to be careful what we sing. We need to look at what we sing. We need to be intentional around what we sing as well. But I believe that there is something in the Psalms here that God wants to reveal to us. But how do you engage with your soul? Because often in an environment like ours, where we have grown up to understand that you have to be in control, you have to be strong, you have to have all the answers. One of the greatest challenges for us in counseling couples or somebody's going through a financial challenge is just to bring them to a place of honesty, to admit that there is a problem, to get them to ask the right questions of themselves. And I believe that God wants to lead us into freedom, into truth that will set us free. But for us to get there, we need to ask the questions without fear. And this psalm teaches us how to do that. I love what John Piper says in his sermon on Psalm 42. He says, the heading implies that this psalm was probably used in public worship and was sung. Most of the psalms, they were sung. They were songs. They weren't things that were just written down and then read out loud. They were songs that were sung. By the way, I want to encourage you, if you struggle to memorize scripture, just sing it to yourself. It's a beautiful way to remember things. And while I was thinking about the psalm, this crazy song, probably the shortest chorus that I've ever heard, popped into my mind from many years ago. And it has to do with a man who lives in a blue little house, drives a blue car, and everything around him is blue. You guys remember that? I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-da. There was the chorus over and over again. I'm blue, and it was so catchy, and everybody sang it. It was actually a depressing song. I'm blue. The power of songs is immense. Have it work for you. Memorize scripture with songs. But in any case, he says, they are poems. They are written to awaken and express and shape the emotional life of God's people. I love this. They are written to awaken and express and shape the emotional life of God's people. And so if maybe you struggle to articulate your thoughts or your emotions to God, you don't feel like an emotional person, just go to the Psalms. Go and read through them and let David and the rest of the guys help you to express your emotions to God. Poetry and singing exists because God made us with emotions, not just thoughts. Made us with emotions, not just thoughts. We're not just cerebral human beings that live on a cognitive level. We are feeling beings as well. The Psalms intend to shape what the mind thinks, and they intend to shape what the heart feels. We know Romans 8, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And our mind includes also, in that context, our soul includes what we think and what we feel. And I've experienced that often we, especially in the Western context, we are so focused on mind transformation. And for us, that mind transformation is just give me more knowledge. If I have more knowledge, then my mind will automatically be renewed because I will start to think differently. And we underestimate the power of our emotions that drive us. I think Yaku sent me an article from Forbes. Was it Forbes or Fortune? That little Harvest Business Review. It spoke about managers and CEOs. Not Harvest. Harvard Business Review. That speaks about just challenges that CEOs and top management find themselves in within the workspace. And they actually came up with this revolutionary idea that maybe some of the challenges, if not most of the relational and leadership challenges you are confronted with and the bad habits that you bring into the workspace actually stem from childhood trauma. Between the age of, what did they say? Before 20 years old. And so the recommendation in this business school is they encourage their students, go and think about your life up until the age of 20. Because most of the decisions you are making now consciously or subconsciously are driven by your reaction to what you went through during that time. In other words, they are driven by emotions that are often just lying underneath the surface. And we try to just deal with them on a superficial level, on a head level. And I believe that God is inviting us into a soul level, an honest level where it's both our thinking and our feeling that is engaged with God. Because God is an emotional God. As He is a planning God and a creative God, He is emotional. And He has wired us with emotions, and emotions, they are not a sin. And ladies, they're beautiful. God has given them to us. When we immerse ourselves in the Psalms, we are thinking and feeling with God. And I want to invite you into that journey. So Psalm 42, verse 1 to 2, give me 10 more minutes. The Passion Translation says, I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. And I put the Passion Translation in here because for me it helps sometimes to get a different translation. It's like, you know, sometimes you drive subconsciously, not with your eyes closed, but you drive somewhere. You don't think about how you got there. You just drive there because you're used to the route. And sometimes we read scripture like that. And we just read into it what we have always read into it. And we think we're reading, but actually our minds are thinking about the Rugby World Cup and the chicken and all of those things. But if you read a new translation, it actually challenges you because you are seeing words you haven't seen before. And it challenges you to think about scripture in a new way. And so maybe for some of us, for 2020, consider getting a different Bible translation. Reading the word through fresh eyes. But it says, I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. May the driving emotion, the driving thought, the driving force of our focus for 2020 be that I want to be in God's presence. I long for God more than any answer to any other question, more than how to fix my budget, my marriage, my calling, my relationships, more than all of those things, my question be, God, I thirst and I pant and I long for you. Because I understand that when I connect with you, when I am in your presence, then that life flows, streams of living water like we saw in that video, flows into the parched earth of my finances and my emotions and everything else. How thirsty are we going to be for God in 2020? Then verse 3, he says, day and night my tears keep falling and my heart keeps crying for your help while my enemies mock me over and over saying, where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you? So I speak over my heartbroken soul. I love this. I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front leading the procession of praise and the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord. You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the festival of the Lord. So firstly, he declares that the Lord is my everything. I'm going to long for him. I'm going to yearn for him. I'm not going to be satisfied with anything secondary to Jesus. I want Jesus. I don't want man's opinion. I don't want man's ideas. I want Jesus. I want to connect with God. My soul longs for you. And that is the deepest longing of all of our hearts. Sometimes we just don't acknowledge it. Or sometimes we just don't slow down long enough to give ourselves time to drink deeply from God. Secondly, he acknowledges that I'm broken. It's not in this airy fairy world just worshiping Jesus. Everything is fine. Stephen touched on it this morning. He acknowledges the reality. He says, my tears keep falling day and night. There's stuff. In other words, there's stuff that's not lekker. There's stuff that wait for me at home when I leave church. There's stuff that wait for me at work when I get there. They don't just disappear magically. There's stuff in my body that I feel that don't come in line with the word of God yet. There's stuff in my budget. There are things that are broken, and he acknowledges that. I want to encourage us to embark in 2020 with a courage to be honest about the things that are broken. Because if we acknowledge those things, then we create space for the healer to come. If we don't acknowledge that we need healing, the healer can do nothing for us. We need to acknowledge. And for some of us, this is going to be a journey. And next week, I'm going to speak to us some more about it. This is going to be a journey that we're going to journey together into parts of our hearts. Maybe we've locked up and we've thrown away the key and we've said, I'm not going to go there. But Jesus wants to go there with us to bring us the healing. He acknowledges the relational brokenness. He acknowledges his own pain, and then he acknowledges that there are people around me who once were my friends and they're now my enemies, and they ask me, where's this God of yours? Why doesn't he help me? I want to encourage us to bring our relationships to the Lord this year. To be honest and to say, man, yes, like it may, huwelik is nie wat het kan wees nie. To be honest to say, my marriage isn't what it can be. To be honest to say that my relationship with my son is broken down and I need help. And not to go 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and live with regrets. Be honest. God, you're my everything. I long for you. But God, I acknowledge this thing is broken. And God, I need you in my relationships. And then what he does is he takes ownership. He takes ownership. He says, this soul is my soul. These emotions are my emotions. This anger is my anger. This depression is my depression. This jealousy is mine. This greed is mine. This lust is mine. Whatever it is, take ownership of it. Don't blame the government. Don't blame your dad. Don't blame Australia. Don't blame anybody else. Take ownership of it and say, you, my soul. Come on, buddy. Let's have a conversation here. You should not be acting like this. Come on, man. I had to tell myself this holiday, come on, you can lead better than this, Heinrich. You can be more engaged with your kids. Come on, man. You can lead better. Come on. The world needs more preachers. Preachers who are able to preach themselves first. Can we commit to preach the gospel to ourselves this year? Preach to yourself. Say, come on, soul. Take courage. Remember, he says to himself, remember the corporate worship. Remember the time when we could go up together. Remember when you experience joy. And I want to encourage you this year to prioritize the gathering of the saints. Because you are so vulnerable when you have to journey through your questions all by yourself. When you have just your own thoughts, your own mind, your own fears, your own opinion to navigate through, it is a risky place. God never designed for us to find the answers to our questions by ourselves. Let's continue to journey together. The journey together as we ask God what He wants for our lives, as we ask ourselves what's going on, and as we ask one another to be part of our lives. Why, my soul, would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for living before His face is my saving grace. I couldn't agree with Stefan more. I believe that there are songs locked up in this room. There are songs that God has placed in our hearts that He's wanting us to release over our businesses as we're driving down the streets, as we drop off our kids at school. There are songs. Why? Songs of life inside of us that God wants to release. I will still sing with praise, he says. Even when his soul is not altogether lekker. I don't know if that word makes sense to you, lekker. Sometimes things just feel lekker, and then sometimes they don't feel lekker. Yeah, they're there, but they're not quite there. And you know you're saved, and you know God is good God. You know all of those things, but things just don't feel lekker. And then he says, I will not wait till everything feels lekker. I will still praise God. I will still praise Him. I will still exalt Him. But it is not denial, saints. It is you bring that brokenness. You bring that frustration. You say, Jesus, I long for you. I pant for you. I yearn for you. The Afrikaanse vertaling, the 53 vertaling, translates verse 5, which is verse 6 in Afrikaans, in this way. Waarom buig jy jou neer, o my siel, en is onrustig in my? Some of us have a onrustigheid about this year. You've got to speak to your soul at the beginning of this year, because that onrustigheid is going to grow and grow and grow and grow and drive you to do certain things unless you take control over it. Speak to the onrustigheid. That's the feeling of unsettledness. Hoop op God, want ek sal hom nog loof, die verlossing van my aangezicht. Then I came across this beautiful Greek wapen psalm. I'm reading Afrikaans. Randall Wickham put it to music. He neffens my, it's called. English-speaking people, please forgive me. Soos bokkekies vir die water soek. Soos bokkekies vir die water soek. Soek ek die Here wat hulle sê God. In die kerk sing ek, die Here is groot, die Here is groot. Maar trane word elke dag my brood, want die vyand vra nou, waar bly jou se God? Op die groot duin sit my siel en kreun. Dit smaak my, onse Here, los my alleen. Maar dan sien ek, hier neffens my sit God. He neffens my. He neffens my, sit God. I love it, so beautiful. He says he sits on this big dune and his soul feels like he's all alone. And then he realizes here next to him sits God. And I believe that the reason why I could get to that place, you can YouTube it as well. It's a like Afrikaans song. And it's not for everyone, but it's amazing. Some of you will enjoy it. Here next to me, here neffens my sit God. May we know in 2020 that if you would dare to ask the question with honesty, that you will find in the midst of any question, neffens jou sit God. Next to you sits God, with all the joy, all the peace, and all the wisdom that you need. Matthew 19:16-17, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, says, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He wants the key. He wants the key for 2020. He's the rich young ruler. He's got wealth, he's got wealth, and he's got influence. I try to break my head to think about something that will rhyme with wealth and yalf. It has to do with influence. But it's got wealth, it's got yalf, and it's got influence. All right? He's young. He's socially mobile. He's like many Gen Zs and millennials. He wants to retire by the age of 30. He wants to be financially independent. Annika is shattered because Meghan and who's her husband? Harry? No? Is it Harry? They want to break away from the royal family. They want to be financially independent. I mean, that is just such a Gen Z thing to do. The millennial thing. They want to be independent. And stats say that the generation that's entering the workforce right now, they want to be financially independent, successful, and not rely upon anybody by the age of 30. Put off marriage. And this was this young man. He comes and says, what must I do, God? What must I do? And Jesus challenges him. Don't have time to read through this now. But if you read this passage, you will see he comes with a question. Jesus comes back with a question. He comes back with a question. Jesus answers him with another question. Then he asks another question, and Jesus asks him with a final question. And the final question bowls him out. I've got a suspicion that Jesus is inviting us to ask questions because he's also wanting to ask us some questions. If we would be honest, and that's why this might sound easy, saints, but I want to hold before you that this is an invitation from God because he wants to shift some things in our hearts. He wants to lead us into truth that will set us free. But some of us are asking the wrong questions, and we would give God permission through the Holy Spirit to say, Jesus, help me to ask the right question. And for Jesus to respond and ask us. I'm a dad. I've got kids growing up in my house. Most of us here are related or have relatives in some way or another in church or outside. We're involved in discipleship some level or another. And these guys who wrote the book Digital Babylon, they did a study. And at one stage, way before Google, they had this algorithm that was designed, and the website was called Wisdom Works. And it was given to a whole bunch of youth groups, and the youth could send in anonymous questions. And the questions that they sent in, they tried to test to see whether this was a man, a woman answering, whether it was a computer program. And so they asked a whole lot of silly questions and to test the thing. But then the computer program would respond. And so in other words, these kids had an opportunity before the days of Google to ask anonymous questions to somebody else outside of their parents. Christian kids, and these were some of the questions they asked. Christian kids growing up in a Christian home, how do I know if I'm gay? What does God think about masturbation? What happens to people who commit suicide? I had sex with my boyfriend, what should I do now? Those are unsettling, uncomfortable questions, aren't they? And questions that even within a church setting, a family setting, we would say our kids wouldn't have questions like this. The stats prove otherwise. If we are going to raise resilient disciples, if we ourselves are going to be resilient, and if we are going to be a Daniel generation that lives with integrity and raises kids who can resist pressure around them, we need to be honest ourselves so we can be honest with our kids and create an environment where people can come with their honesty. And that's my desire for us this year, church. That we would create an environment within ourselves, within our worship setting, with one another, where we can be honest, because in the honesty lies the truth, and in the truth lies the freedom. How do I live faithfully in a secular world? These are some of the questions that I'm hoping to journey with you guys through this year. How do I work and live with people who live differently from me? How do I live wisely with regards to sex and sexuality? How do I use technology and not be used and manipulated by it? What tools are there to help me wisely use my money? How do I regain my passion for the kingdom? How do I recover from a divorce? How do I live fulfilled as a single person? How do I pray for my children and grandchildren? How can I desire and pursue spiritual gifts? How can I become a better soul winner? I believe that there are questions that we are going to have the privilege of discovering together. And my invitation to us is, let's journey together. Can we stand? I'm going to speak this final question over us. I thank you for your patience. I haven't preached in weeks, okay, so I'm getting there, I'm warming up, so not as polished yet. But Romans 8:31, 2:31. Oh, what an amazing scripture reference. Romans 8:31, 2:31. One of the most important questions for 2020 that God has answered for us. What then shall we say in response to these things? The New King James Version says, what then shall we say to all of these things? What things? All of these things. The Argus, the Cape Times, the Report, the Burger, Bloomberg, Newsweek, Financial Times, Time Magazine, National Geographic, Facebook, Instagram, all of the things that happen everywhere. What shall we say to all of those things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? So let's journey together in 2020, asking God, asking ourselves, and asking one another the honest questions, the answer to which together we can find in Jesus' presence. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you, God, that you are inviting us, Lord, into a life of honest, open dialogue with you. Father, I thank you for the many beautiful conversations that so many of us could have during this holiday time. We could engage with you, Father, and we could receive from you. Father, I pray that as we continue to journey into 2020, Lord, that we will grow as a church family into a place where souls will feel safe. A place, Lord, where we will not be thrown and be intimidated by honest questions that people have, Lord. And above all, Father, I pray that we ourselves will bring our questions to the table. We'll bring our questions to you. We'll bring our questions first and foremost to you. We want to declare, Lord God, as we sang earlier, that our souls and our hearts yearn after you, pant after you, long after you. And every other question, Lord, we bring into submission to the one overriding question. Jesus, we just want and we just need more of you. I thank you for the souls in this place that you will lead to wholeness. I thank you for the miracles in this place of what you have done in the past, how you have healed souls, how you have released souls, how you have stirred passion. But Father, I thank you for what you will do in this year to come. Thank you, Lord, for the release that we heard this morning, that you are calling us to love you with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. And Father, I pray for the disconnect that exists in some of our hearts between our thinking and our feelings. And thank you that you are inviting us to feel with you and to think like you. Jesus, we exalt you and we praise you. And we declare, Lord, that we trust you in this journey of 2020. We trust you, Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth to lead us. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Lord, I thank you for my brother in this place, Lord, who's just trapped within that cycle of shame and doesn't know, God, how to break out of it. Thank you, Jesus, that you will lead him, Lord, to ask the right questions. The sense, Lord, that there's this pack of cards that have been shuffled and they're all confused and you're trying to get the right card to play. But you're actually looking at the wrong box. You've got the wrong box. And God is wanting to take you to a new set of cards. You've been asking the wrong question, getting the same answer, but you've been asking the wrong question. And Father, I thank you. I just sense that someone in the last 2 weeks or so, you've been growing increasingly impatient with yourself, angry with yourself even, just with some stuff that you've been struggling with. And God is just inviting you into a place where you bring your soul, you bring your frustration, you bring that to him. You give him permission to lead you into asking some different questions. Father, thank you for the creativity and the wisdom. Sense that there are Einsteins in this room. Spirits of wisdom that's locked up in creativity, that's locked up in this place. But you have been kept so busy by the devil. And you're already so busy. And I have an urgency in my spirit to say to you that God is asking you to slow down. So you can have the time to ask the right question. You need to slow down. 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 And come and sit at the table that he has prepared for you. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for this beautiful journey that we can be on together. And that you lead us exactly where you want to take us in 2020. So we continue to submit this year into your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you for your patience. The Lord bless you. If you need some prayer, if there's anything that we can pray for, you're more than welcome to come. We'd love to pray with you. If you're visiting us, we'd love to connect with you. We've got a guest corner there at the back. Where Francois is standing. You can hang around a couple of minutes. We'd love to just connect with you. If there's maybe a question in your heart already that's been burning there and you know God is putting His finger on it, don't delay, don't go home. Let us do business together. Come back next week. We're going to be full service again next week, and more of our kids' church friends are going to be back. We're going to have a picnic afterwards as well. We'll send you the details during the week. We look forward to celebrating life together in 2020. Lord bless you. Have an amazing Sunday.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.